Well, good morning once again and welcome, church. And a special welcome to all who are joining us today through the internet. God is good. I'm going to say that again. God is good.
Amen.
As I was preparing the word for today, you know, sometimes when I really get into the word and spend a lot of time just pondering things, you know, I'm sometimes so overwhelmed at some of the things the Lord impresses on my heart. You know, God's goodness overwhelms. Amen? It really does. God is so good. And you know, the good news of the gospel should never, ever become stagnant to us. We should never, ever, it should never grow old for us. You know, when you get married and you're young and you're in love and that lady or that man is just so special, and sometimes as the years go by, it grows old. It becomes stagnant. Come on, you're looking at me like, oh, that'll never happen. Bless God, we've got a couple back there. It's never happened. But I guarantee you, in the world and even in the church, it happens. It happens more than it doesn't happen. And so your relationship with God, how you see God, should never grow old. The good news of the gospel should always be vitally alive, more alive every day. How many can say amen? So we should never get tired of hearing the good news and pondering God's goodness. And this morning, I want to share with you on a topic that is most dear to my heart, and I hope to yours as well. And I pray that as we share here today, that the Holy Spirit will rekindle the joy and the excitement of your Christian walk. Because really, what we've been given should cause such great excitement. You know, the Bible tells us that the prophets looked into this, to the time when this grace would be given, when the gospel of grace would arise or come to be. The angels, they long to look into this thing that we have, and yet we're in the middle of it, and we've a lot of us have just kind of lost the excitement and the joy. Every day seems to kind of just like, okay, today's another day. We've lost that, and maybe you're here, maybe you've never had it. And so by the things I want to share again today, it's more of a word of encouragement, more of a way of bringing us back to the basics of the gospel again. And I believe that the Holy Spirit will rekindle you again. And this is an exciting time to be alive in. Amen? Amen. So I pray that the joy and the excitement and possibly a new anticipation of receiving and enjoying God's blessings that already are freely given to us in Christ will be rekindled on the inside of you today. So God is good. God is so good. And he is no respecter of persons, is he? God does not favor one above the other. And the Bible tells us that if you are in Christ, no matter who you are, no matter what level of so-called maturity that we think is so important in the church, that you possess, we all have been given free access to the blessings of Christ. No matter who you are, if you are in Christ, I don't care if you just received him 2 minutes ago. You have the same access to the blessings that you do, Diane, who have been in Christ for many, many years. And that is the amazing thing about God. He is no respecter of persons. He has given us all the same access. How do we have access? Through our faith. And guess what? The good news today is you already have faith. So if you are in Christ and you have the thing called faith, then you have access to every good thing that God has given us in Christ. Now, I want us to turn over to Romans chapter 1, and I want us to read from verses 1 to 5. Romans chapter 1, please. And I want to talk about something this morning that maybe this isn't a new revelation to you, or maybe you've heard this word in this way before. But I want to bring something out of the scripture that possibly you haven't heard and is going to really help us, okay? So let's begin in chapter 1, verse 1 of Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised aforetime by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now I want us, keep your finger there, and I want us to flip over to the very last chapter of the book of Romans, chapter 16. And I want to read verses 25 and 26. You need to see something here. Now unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, here the Apostle Paul calls it his gospel, and the preaching of Jesus, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Does any of us really know what this mystery was that was kept secret? The Bible talks a lot about the mystery. Do we know what that mystery was or is? The church. Christ, the head, the church, the body. That's the mystery Paul saw. He saw the connection. He saw the oneness when he had that revelation. When he saw Jesus, guess what he saw? He saw the church. And that's why he's so overwhelmed. What a mystery that the world did not know. But now it has been made known and manifest to you. Why? Because you are the church. So that's what Paul saw. So it says here, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, in other words, it's made known, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known. Why is it made known? To all of the nations. For what? The obedience of the faith. Now let's back up to verse 5 again in Romans chapter 1. It says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for what? For obedience to the faith. If you've got a pen and paper, write that down. For obedience to the faith. He says it twice. Notice, Paul says it in chapter 1, and he says it in chapter 16. He begins the letter with this. He ends the letter with this. How many of us here today know what is the obedience of faith? What is the obedience of faith? Or obedience to the faith? So obedience to the faith is not obedience to the law. Obedience to the faith is not obedience to God's laws. We know that in the Old Testament, the Israelites who were under the law had to obey the law, or the law meaning the Ten Commandments. Now, if they hearkened diligently unto the commandments of God and did all that was required of them, then they would be what? Blessed. Hearken diligently unto the Lord thy God and do all that I command you to do this day, and you will, and I will bless you. I will bless you in your storehouse. I will bless you in the city. I'll bless you in the country. So we know that obedience to the law is to do the law, is to work. So the blessing of God were contingent in the old covenant upon them obeying and doing the law. Can you hear an amen? Do you agree with me? But now in the new covenant, we no longer have obedience to the law. It's not about you keeping the Ten Commandments, but obedience to the faith. Now, and in case you and I have not yet realized it yet, just like in the Old Testament, the blessing is contingent upon them obeying the law, right? In the New Testament, the blessing is contingent upon you obeying the faith. I'm going to say that again. The blessing is contingent upon you having obedience to the faith. So, what does it mean to obey the faith? So it means to be obedient in believing, right? Faith is simply believing. If you believe and are in Christ, you have faith. You are a believer. But you and I need to ask this question. Are you and I really living this life of obedience to the faith? You need to ask yourself that question. The Bible even says, examine yourself to see that you are in the faith. Are you and I living the life of obedience to the faith? In the Old Testament, I want you to listen up. In the Old Testament, under the law, I guarantee the people of that time, they knew the law. And they knew how to obtain the blessing by the law. There was no other way. If I wanted to be blessed, I better know that law and I better keep it as much as is within me and as much as I am able to keep it, right? This was not a mystery to the people of the Old Covenant. Do good, get good. And the people of the Old Testament knew full well that when they broke the law, the blessing wasn't going to come. Can I hear an amen? And vice versa. If the blessing was not coming and was not given, guess what? They knew they broke the law. It was no mystery. They knew the law inside out. It was important. In other words, what I'm trying to get at here is they understood completely the covenant they were under. They understood the covenant that they had with God. They knew what was their part, and they knew what was God's part. Covenant, two people, two parties coming together. I wish the church knew the covenant that they're under as the people of old knew the covenant in the Old Testament. But I see that the church, who is now under a new covenant, a better covenant, the Bible says, we don't seem to be blessed even as much as they were under the old. Is that not true? You go back and you read some of the lives in the history of some of the men and women in the old covenant and how blessed they were. Even today, that blessing is still on Israel. Even though they are not even under the new covenant, many of them, the blessing is still there. Why? This is not the way it's supposed to be. We have the better covenant. I believe that most Christians, now I'm not necessarily just speaking to you here today, but I believe that most Christians do not understand the new covenant. They do not know what is God's part and what is their part. We need to understand the covenant we're in. Most Christians are told that under the new covenant, you ought to be this, that, that, and that. And it's true. We ought to be blessed. We ought to be healed. We ought to be prosperous. We ought to be above only, not beneath, above all the nations of the world. But are we? I don't think so. Church really isn't any different than the world as far as, I'm sure there are lots of blessed people in the church. But what I'm saying is on the average, let's put it this way, the reputation of Christians is not necessarily by the world. Oh, they got to be a Christian because just look at the blessing. And yet Israel still has that blessing. And they're under the old covenant. Something's really wrong here. I believe as the Lord was dealing with me on this week, he was showing me, you do not understand the covenant you're in. Not like they did in the Old Testament. So we are told that under the new covenant, we are to live by faith. And by faith we shall live. And it's all about faith. We are taught faith. So then when we don't see God's blessings in our lives, we think this: I don't have enough faith. Something's wrong with my faith. When we don't see the blessings, we say, I don't have enough faith. Well, the problem here isn't that you don't have enough faith, because we all have faith. The Bible even says if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you've all been given that measure. But we do not have enough understanding on how to use this faith. It's understanding we lack. Or maybe you're here today, or maybe you're listening in through the internet, and you say, I do have understanding. I know how to use and operate in faith. I have a full understanding, but you still don't see a whole lot of blessings coming to pass or flowing in your life. Then I say today, and I believe, that we are still mixing law and grace. We are still mixing it. And what happens? One cancels out the other. And you know what? Many times we mix law and grace and we don't even know we're doing it. So first of all, let's take a look at living by obedience to the faith. What does that really mean? Let's look at this covenant that we have with God as his children. And as sure as the old covenant, God kept his promise. As the children of Israel did what they were supposed to do, do you think God is not going to keep his word concerning the new? Let's find out how the new really works. Okay, so under the new covenant, or under the old covenant, man first, number one, first of all, man had to do his part. Under the old covenant, I'm going to say that again, man had to work first. Do his part. Then what? Then God, secondly, did his part. Now, in the new covenant, it is totally reversed. Let's not live under that old system. Man, or God, has done his part. He has already blessed us. In the old covenant, God's part was to bless. When man first obeyed, God blessed. In the new, God has already blessed us with every Holy Spirit-given promise, blessing in the heavenly realm in Christ. So God's part is first, and it's done. And now man has to receive what God has already done. That's the covenant. It is totally reversed. God first, man second. In the old covenant, it was man first, God second. We need to get that straight and never forget that. God has already done his part of this covenant. He is finished. And if you are not receiving all of the blessings, then it isn't because God is withholding them. It's because you have not understood how to live by faith. Because that's our part. To receive them, to lay hold upon them, possess them, take possession of them by our faith. And if sometimes we get this idea that we're waiting on God. Come on. How many times do you get up and you wonder, when is this going to happen? But really, in the back of your mind, it's like you're really waiting on God. And you're waiting for something to happen. But if that's you, you're going to be waiting in vain. God is done. It's all up to you and I now. God's part is always first, then it's our part. And God was finished his part at the cross. It was done. And it's only by our faith. And if there's any area in our lives that we are not blessed, it's because you haven't taken it. It's because you haven't possessed it with your faith. Romans chapter 10, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. Here Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man that doeth these things will live by them. Doeth. The man that doeth, what's doing? That's the law. That's what you had to do when you were under the law. It was all about what you did. The law is about doing. You are righteous by what you do. And the Bible tells us here that if you believe that what you do and how you act and how you live has got anything to do at all with the fact that you believe you are righteous, then you will live by that. Then you are not in faith. It's in other words, he's saying either live under the law or live under grace by faith. So under the law, faith righteousness is about earning your righteousness by your good works. And you know, we've got to be very careful because we forget that. And there's many times where we have done good or done bad. But let's use good today for an example. And somehow that makes us feel good about me. You know, it's self-righteousness. And it's hard. It's hard to get away from that sense, that feeling. It feels good to do good. But we need to be careful because we're not righteous because we do good. You know, one thing I really, you know, if you do something really bad, really rotten, and I mean, we're all capable of it, I guess, in the flesh. And somebody comes along and you realize, and you feel terrible for what you have done. And somebody comes along and says to you, Diane, that's all right, Diane. I'm going to go in and I'm going to fix it for you. I am going to, I'm going to do what needs to be done. And you'll say, you are not. I am going to fix my own mess. You see, there's something on the inside of us that doesn't want anybody else to have to suffer for our debt. We want to do it ourselves. I was responsible and bless God, I'm going to fix it. Sounds noble. Sounds like a good characteristic to have, to want to pay off your own debts. And we look at people who have that strong characteristic, and somehow we put them way up there. Man, what he's a man. He's got, you know, he's got some backbone. He did it. He's going to fix it. That is so opposite God's ways. You know, we were watching, or Cameron was watching a story about men that were on death row. And there was one man who was responsible for, I don't know, multiple deaths. And it had been 26 years later, was it 26, Cameron? And he still hadn't been convicted. You know, they kept appealing it. And then they showed the mothers of the three girls. And, you know, they all basically said, you know, this has been going on for 26 years. We have no closure. The one woman basically almost as much had said, you know, if I could get my hands on him or us three, we probably would have put him out of his misery. And, you know, immediately the Holy Spirit arrested me and showed me this. And, you know, we sympathize with those people because we have children too. And I know how terrible it would be if someone did that to my child. How would I react? And yet the Lord said to me, you killed my son. And it's like we're justified in getting revenge on this man who killed the three girls. And God said to me, you killed my son. But it was never about revenge. You see, God never looked at us and it's like, wait, I mean, this is, I'm going to get justice. You see how different God is? It was about releasing love and forgiveness. And I saw that so clearly yesterday. That God's ways really are so opposite man's ways and our ways of thinking. You know, like when we do wrong and we know we've done wrong and our hearts are telling us we've done wrong, we don't want anybody else to fix it but me because I was responsible. It kind of gives us that closure or that release from what we have done. And when we can't fix it ourselves or we're not allowed to or for whatever the reason, it's like that thing festers on the inside of us. But once we go back and we try to right our wrongs, we feel somehow cleansed of that thing. Self-righteousness. And so don't kid yourself. It is easy to fall into that trap. In everyday life, we've got to be careful. We are not righteous before God because of our goodness. We are not righteous even in our own eyes because we are good. You see, sometimes we know in our hearts that God says that we're righteous because Jesus Christ cleansed us from all sin by his blood. But in our hearts, in our own way of thinking, we still see ourselves as righteous by what we do and what we don't do. And you need to see as God sees. You are righteous for one reason, because of the blood of Jesus. No matter what. And I'm so off my notes. Where am I? Okay, the law is about doing. Moses describes the law, the righteousness which is of the law. It's all about you are righteous by the works that you do. But the righteousness which is of faith does what? Righteousness of the law does do works. Righteousness of faith speaketh. It does not say the righteousness which is of faith believeth. And sometimes we read it to say that. The righteousness which is of faith believeth. That's not what it says. It says the righteousness which is of faith speaketh. I'm going to ask you guys again. Are we being obedient to the faith? To be obedient to the law, you better do the law. To be obedient to the faith, you better speak the faith. Otherwise, you are in disobedience. That's what the Lord showed me this week. This is a very serious thing. You don't have a lack of faith. You are just not walking in obedience to the faith. Therefore, we are not seeing any of the blessing. Under the old covenant, if they did not do the law, no blessing. In the new covenant, if you do not speak your faith, no blessing. It's that serious. There's no mystery here. It's written very clearly. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh. And it speaks not on this wise. You know, God, when are you going to come down and bless me? Lord, when is this ever going to happen? No, what does it say? The word is in your mouth. It's nigh you, in your heart and in your mouth. Speak it. Confession is always made unto salvation. Confession. Speak. Be obedient to the faith. How many of us take this serious? We have heard so many messages on life and death is in the power of your tongue. And we hear that message, it goes in one ear and it goes out the other. Because we're not speaking what we want to see. We're speaking it as it is most times, aren't we? Ooh, the world looks like a scary place to be in right now. Man, the weather is going nuts. On and on and on. We speak it as we see it. My brethren, these things not ought to be so. We need to speak the truth in love that we might grow up into Christ, into all things. So God's blessings are now contingent in the new covenant to us obeying the faith. Faith is not a feeling. Because if it was, because it changes, then in order to speak your faith, you would be speaking something different every day. You see, and that's kind of how we do operate. We kind of say how we feel, don't we? You know, we speak about things in our lives, whether it's our finances. Man, you know, it looks rough. We don't realize we are disobeying the faith. Every time we open up this mouth and something comes out that's contrary to what God has spoken about you, we are disobeying the faith. So faith is not a feeling. It is knowing that God's word is the truth and speaking it over yourselves, all those things God has said about you in Christ. You know, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are the healed. You are the redeemed. You are the prosperous. You are the head and not the tail. Above only, never beneath. I mean, on and on and on. God has spoken things to us in Christ. You are the beloved in him, accepted, highly favored and honored, crowned with all glory. But you know what? Even though you might believe all of these things, believing all of these things is not obedience to the faith. It's speaking these things that is obedience to the faith. And we have a hard time speaking, don't we? I mean, when there's pain in our body, the last thing we want to speak is no pain. We just, it's like something, it's like whatever we're feeling, we just got to get it out. And everybody knows about it. Everybody knows. You know, we see the curse around us all day long in our lives, in the lives of others. It's everywhere. We see death at work, in our bodies, in our finances, whatever. Do we speak against it, or do we just agree with it, or do we say nothing at all? We generally speak what we feel or what we see. We do. That's our first reaction. But then later on, when we get into our prayer closet, we start to confess something different. Then we come out of our prayer closet and we speak it the way we see it again. We've got to take this obedience to the faith as seriously in the new covenant as they did in the old. The Bible says, guard your heart. Out of it flows the issues of life. Guard your mouth. They who love it will eat the fruit thereof. So do we speak what we see instead of speaking what we want to see? I don't know about you, but there's many, 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 many areas in my life that I'm seeing what I don't want to see. Many areas. I mean, every time you look in the mirror in the morning, you go, whoa, is that really me? It doesn't look the same. You look at all kinds of things. And you don't stop to think that, you know, I can change that. So we speak it like it is. Or we don't speak at all. We just put up with it. You know, we say, I mean, in every area, even in the church, you know, we speak about the people. We speak about this church. Well, it's really small. Hardly anybody left. What are we going to do? You know, are we speaking what we want to see? And if that's what you want to see, fine. We need to change what's coming out of here. We need to obey the faith. You know, Adam was a really smart man. God had called Adam to name all the animals, to name everything. He brought it before Adam, and Adam named it. He named it a dog, and he said, a dog is going to bark. You know, Adam did that, right? To this day, that name stays. Every animal that Adam named is still the same name today. So, Adam understood the power of words, probably above any of us. Adam understood. He operated as like God with the power and the authority of his words to speak. And immediately after they sinned, or they ate of the forbidden tree, what did God? He came to Adam and he said in Genesis, where have I got it written down here? Genesis chapter 3 or 4. You can check it out. Immediately after, God pronounces the curse, death. From dust, in fact, the last words were, from dust you were taken, and to dust you will return. Adam knew. Adam knew. He wasn't ignorant. He knew that death had come in. What does he say in the very next scripture? Right after God spoke that to him, he said, and Adam called his wife Eve, mother of all living. You see how, you know, it took a long time for Adam to die, almost 1,000 years. Why do you think that was? Adam knew the secret of speaking. Even though Adam was not born again, as we are, he knew eventually he was going to die. He knew also the secret of his words and life. It's interesting that he spoke Eve. He spoke about Eve, giving his wife the name Eve. She was the mother of all living, not dying, all living. He was speaking contrary to death. We do not take our word seriously enough. And yet, this is the covenant we have with our God. This is the principle of the covenant of faith. Speaking. So obedience to the faith is all about our words. And you know, many times we think of obedience to the faith, to God, is by our doing his word. That's how we see obedience to the faith. We think it's by doing his word. No, it's not by doing. We're not doing, we're speaking. That's easy. That's why it's so exciting. I can always speak. But you know what? If it's about my doing, I'm going to be down here all the time. I'm not going to even be able to lift up my head and believe God for anything. But it's not. Jesus did it all. All I have to do is say it. And even today, if I don't quite understand it all, or if I quite even don't know if I believe it for sure, it's still in the Bible. It's still God's word. Speak it. And you may not believe it today. You may not understand it right now, but you will as you begin just to obey the faith. People in the Old Testament, I'm sure they didn't understand half the laws. I mean, I heard of some of the laws they had back then that in my head just goes, wow, seriously? They actually locked up the women at that time of the month? They were laws and commands back then that I'm sure the people didn't even understand. It didn't matter. Just do what I tell you. Just do the law. They didn't have to understand why they had to do it. And so I'm not saying we shouldn't understand why, but I am telling you, don't wait for the full understanding of this. Just do, be obedient to the faith by taking it, taking the word, and begin to speak life into your life. You know, we will either live by law or we will live by grace, but do not mix the two. Under the Old Testament, they had to live by law. But in the New Testament, the Bible tells us God has made us, through Christ, kings and priests unto our God. How does a king live? How does a priest live? How do they get things done? Have you ever seen a king scrubbing the floor? No, he's got servants for that. In the Old Covenant, they were servants in bondage. They had to obey the law. They were as servants to the law. But in the New Testament, it says you are no longer a servant. You're a son. And if a son, then you're an heir and a co-heir with Jesus Christ. What did we inherit? His blessings. We are no longer servants. We are kings and priests. How do they get things done? They speak. They speak. And you cannot be speaking and doing. What is it going to be? So the minute you start mixing the two without even realizing you're doing it, then you try to speak and your words become weightless. Because you know, like, really, where's my heart? Am I trusting what I'm doing or am I really trusting God? You know, it's like the person who decides in their heart they want to become fit. You know, lose a few pounds, get into shape. Now, I have nothing against you joining the gym, getting into an exercise regime, changing your diet, you know, starting to eat healthier and all those things. But I'm going to give you a warning. If you're going to do it that way, then do it that way. But if you're going to trust God, you put the two together and you hardly ever speak. In fact, you maybe never do. And you think you're walking by faith. But really, where is your trust? Is your trust in your speaking over your body or is it in your exercise regime? And then you wonder why at the end of the day, and you know, and you just know in your heart, if I quit exercising, I'm going to lose all my shape. Where's your faith in God there? No. That's what Moses means when he says you either live under the law or you live by faith. You can't do both. You can't do both. And it's like that in every area of our lives. We decide, okay, this is what I want. And instead of just trusting God, we decide to, oh, well, what can I do to bring this to pass? Because in our thinking, it's really hard. That's the same thing as thinking about God at the cross who, when we killed his son. It wasn't about revenge. He wasn't after revenge. He was after forgiveness. And it's the same thing when we think of God's ways. It makes no sense. How can I expect a healthy body if I never work out? or if I don't eat right. You see, it's the law. It's the law. Because under the law, you get what you do. You do good, you get good. You exercise, you get a fit body. You eat well, you get a healthy body. That is not God's ways. And it's hard because it makes no sense, because in the natural, you reap what you sow. And it is so big in our thinking that it's hard for us to cast that down and say, no, no. It is through Christ and Christ alone that I am healthy, that I am healed. Because even though you do all of these things, that you can still get sick in your body. There's no guarantee that any of it's going to work. Why? Because the earth is under a curse. The earth is under a curse. And it's the spirit of life in you that makes your body alive and quickens it. Now, am I against exercise and eating well? No, that's not even the point. I'm just showing you where we miss it many times. We're mixing law and grace, and we're wondering why we haven't been blessed the way we should be blessed. Do you think when Sarah's youth was renewed that she did anything about it? Do you think it was because of the wonderful lotions she stuck on her face and the cucumbers she slept with every night? Come on. Absolutely not. She had nothing to do with her renewal of youth. It was by the Spirit of God. She didn't exercise and run how many kilometers every day to keep in shape. No. What did she do? She enjoyed her Lord, and God renewed her youth. And listen up, we are daughters of Sarah. And we can enjoy the same blessing. And how much more we should enjoy that blessing. Not because we're putting so much effort into it, but just because of the grace of God. Just because of his grace. And if you're falling short, you know, sometimes we think, well, how is it possible that I can be like this when I live like this? Guess what? The grace of God is sufficient for you. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. It's by grace, all of it. Not a little bit of what you do and a little bit then God does. I said God's already done his part. It's only up to us now to receive it. And it's not through our good works either. It's only through obedience to the faith and speaking. So whenever our trust is in the flesh, even though you may speak, your words will fall weightless to the ground. Because you know in your heart, because your heart knows, am I really trusting my words? Is that the reason I can have what I'm believing I'm getting? Or is it because I've put so much effort into it? In John chapter 1, verse 17, we're going to close with this. The Bible says the law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, we also know you cannot separate grace from truth. You can't separate truth from grace because they're one and the same. Grace comes from the truth. And the truth is God's grace revealed. It's one and the same, okay? You can never separate grace from truth. Now, the Lord said to me, you cannot separate faith from speaking. It's one and the same. They are together. Even though we see them separate, they are one. Faith comes from speaking. Speaking brings faith. Obedience to the faith. Faith is your speaking, and speaking is your faith. Say that to yourself. Faith, my faith is my speaking, and my speaking is my faith revealed. It's the same as grace and truth. You cannot separate the two. Obedience to the faith is as much speaking as it is in believing. God has given us the same power, the same authority. That's what righteousness has done for you, Megan. God knew he had to. The Holy Spirit could not live in you as long as we were unrighteous. Jesus died, shed his blood to make you completely righteous. Now the Holy Spirit has a home. He's taken up residence in you. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is the same life. He is the Spirit of God's life. It's the same Spirit that was in the beginning with God when it said God looked out at the darkness. What did God see? He looked out and he goes, whoa, you know, it was void. It was without form and void. It was dark. Deep, you know, the deep, the great deep. I believe it was horrid what God saw. It was death and darkness. And the same Spirit is now in you and me. And the Bible says that when God looked out and saw that, the Spirit of God was hovering over this, okay? God didn't say, wow, it's dark out there. That's what we would have said. Whoa, is it dark? No, God spoke what he wanted to see, life. And the Spirit, that same Spirit that's in you, went about and light was. It works the same. God has given you, Diane, that Spirit of life. He's waiting for you. He's left us here on the earth. Why? So that as Jesus is, so are we. So that's why Jesus said, you know what? You sent me into this world. Wherever Jesus went, he cast out darkness. He dispelled death. We're supposed to be doing the same thing. We are filled with that Spirit of life. Why? So that we can cast out darkness. We can speak life. We've got the same Holy Spirit in us. And it's that Holy Spirit that brings these things to pass. He's entrusted us, his children, with the same Spirit in order that we might speak life into this dark world. He's given us not only that, but he's given us the name of his Son Jesus, that at that name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. We have been given the name of Jesus to use. And when his name is used, all power and authority belongs in that name. So, start speaking. If you want to see the blessing of God in your body, speak. Speak to your body. Speak to your hair. Speak to whatever part. Speak to your skin. I don't know what it is, but speak it. Obey the faith. If you want to see blessing in your finances, talk to your money. Speak to your finances. Speak to your situation. Don't grow weary in well-doing. God's already done it. Just know. You know what? Don't be so concerned about whether I really believe that this is going to come to pass. We get so caught up in that. No. Just speak what you want to see and believe that what God has told us, this is the principle of the new covenant. I'm going to speak it. And I'm just going to keep on speaking it. And it won't be very long. And you will see changes. You will see life. Because it's the principle. If it worked in the old, if that's by their doing, God blessed, then surely in the new, God is faithful. If he has said this is the way it works, then bless God, it's the way it works. And we need to take this covenant seriously and be obedient to the faith simply by opening our mouths and speaking. This is the principle of your faith, to believe and to speak. This is being obedient to the faith. It's nothing more than that. And all of us, no matter what stage we are in our Christianity, we have all been given the same fullness of the blessing, the same opportunity to have and enjoy every blessing God has given. How? Speak. Just open your mouth and speak. They are for all of us who will believe and speak. And you know, challenge yourself. Take one area of your life that you think, you know what? I am so tired of this thing never changing, even though I know it's not God's will. And start speaking. I don't care if you believe that it's going to change or what's going on in your heart, just start speaking what you do want to see. And I guarantee you, it won't be long and that thing will start to change. You know, we go too long And we just put up with stuff. God never put up, Jesus never put up with anything when he was on the earth. Wherever he saw darkness and death, he was quick to do something about it. And we too, let's not be lazy. Let's not be weary in well-doing in our speaking. And let's take this message seriously and watch what we are saying. And I'll bet you it would shock you if you paid more attention to what's coming out of your mouth and how many times we say it like it is instead of how we want it to be. So we are no longer slaves. We are sons and daughters of Almighty God with the power and the authority to speak these things into being. And the more you
meditate on this truth that I've shared with you this morning, the more you will see the greatness of who God is and how wonderful he really is. Wow, what a great God. He withholds nothing good from you. Nothing. It's all been given to you. You have the authority and the dominion over every blessing he's given. Amen. Do we want the blessings? Amen. I don't know about you. I do. Let's close in prayer.